It's City Desk, news and views from City Hall, Biloxi. And now, the host of our program, Public Affairs Manager for the City of Biloxi, Mr. Vincent Creel. Here's Mr. Creel.
Good morning, William Sackett. We are recording this program on, if I can get my phone working here, Thursday, October 26th, and we are recording it at 10:41 in the morning, and we're going to have a boisterous guest with us in a minute. You could hear him just now. Good morning, Cecilia Dobbs-Walton, Public Affairs Specialist for the City of Biloxi.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here on a nice, cool morning Thursday. We have nice weather outside, but we've had a pretty busy week.
We've had a very busy week, and I was upstairs in my office working on a B-mail and something for the website, so I was unable to go to the city council meeting. Was it a pretty quiet city council meeting? You were there.
Well, it was a pretty packed council meeting. There were three big topics that was on the agenda that a lot of people showed up to hear about, and it was the first reading of three new ordinances, a special events ordinance, a loitering ordinance, and a panhandling ordinance.
And what we're going to do on the special events ordinance, and what the reason for the special events ordinance is that the city feels, and a good number of the public feels, that there are a number of special events that are held in the city that put an inordinate strain on the public safety resources of the city, police, fire. The other one is public works. These are events that will come into the city, will be, and by the way, what events are we talking about? Are we talking about spring break? Are we talking about scraping the coast? Are we talking about cruising the coast? Are we talking about a concert that could be on the town green? We're talking about all of them. Right now, the discussion is wide-ranging, and there are a number of people who are saying that they think something needs to be done. Now, what happens if a group comes to the Coliseum and they're going to have a concert? Would that fall under this? What about Harris that just had its big outdoor concert down at the Great Lawn? Would that be involved by this? We have a big fishing tournament down at Point Cadet that we're going to be talking about a little bit later in the program. Would that be involved? Those answers are all going to be addressed during a special workshop or a public hearing that is going to be held about this proposed public special events ordinance. That is going to be on Tuesday, November 14th, and it's going to be sometime after the 1:30 City Council meeting. City Council meeting sometime can run on a good day 10 minutes, and sometimes they can run for 2 hours. It's believed that that one might be about an hour, and then we will have the special events ordinance meeting. It's open to the public. We don't want just people here who put on special events. We want the people who are impacted by those special events to be here. So that's the special events ordinance. You said that there were three big things. The other one was loitering. The city wants to further define what loitering is. The ordinance we have on the books right now, we think, has some constitutional issues where it doesn't adequately, in our opinion, address what loitering is. The other big one is panhandling. Panhandling is an issue that's impacting cities across the country. Panhandling can sometimes, we feel, and we have been told, that it can come off as aggressive panhandling, where those who are being panhandled will feel that there is a perceived threat there, that they feel that they have to give money out of fear as opposed to compassion. So what we're looking to do is to define what times you can panhandle, and it would be excluded after 7 o'clock at night. We're also trying to define what some of the appropriate measures are, mainly what the inappropriate measures are. That would be as if I touch you, if I follow you to your car, if I approach a car in a street, if I'm panhandling near a bank ATM. These are some of the things that we have heard about that have been an issue for our business owners and as well as our residents and visitors.
In my ignorance, a question, if I may, as public relations.
Yes, sir.
Why have panhandling? Why allow panhandling at all?
That is an excellent question, William Sackett, and the answer to that is it is a constitutionally guaranteed right of free speech. However, just because it's a constitutionally guaranteed right of free speech, That does not mean it cannot be regulated. What I mean by that is, William Sackett, you've heard the age-old argument, you can't jump up in a theater and holler fire.
Correct.
That is free speech, but it causes issues. So what we're looking to do is we're looking to reduce, and I forgot one other thing. The important thing when I talk about regulated panhandlers, and we view this for some people as a business, panhandlers will be regulated. They will have to obtain a permit from the Community Development Department. If they cannot afford the permit, a permit will be provided for free. However, they must register if they are going to panhandle. We are a very giving community, but the issue is that anytime you have a thriving economy, anytime you have places where a lot of people congregate, you're going to have panhandling. You see it in every major city. And we're trying to do what we can. Now, the city council is going to be voting on that, as well as the loitering ordinance at the next city council meeting. I forget the date, but Cecilia is going to look it up. But they're scheduled to vote on it. What that means is if you've got an issue with this, whether you're a business owner or a citizen or a panhandler, you're free to come in here. Don't panhandle in the council meeting, though. Go ahead.
All right. By doing that, just a question again from my ignorance.
Yes.
Well, would that or could that possibly create a panhandling organization? In other words, drive them to become organized. I know it sounds ridiculous, but I'm still back to why you're allowing it, but I understand and respect.
Yeah, and we have to allow it. I mean, it's kind of like if William Sackett owns a piece of property and he wants to put a junkyard on that piece of property, much to the
chagrin, right?
Yeah, chagrin of your neighbors.
Yeah.
William Sackett has property rights. So William Sackett has the right to petition the city to say, I want to do a junkyard here. Okay. But it doesn't mean the city has to say yes. What we do is we provide you due process. You're able to go through the process and what's best for the overall community, not necessarily for William Sackett. And it's got to be in the zoning measures and so forth all have to be looked at, traffic, etc. Panhandling, though, it's going to bring up some constitutional issues. We're aware of that. Other cities have faced those constitutional issues. But Mayor Gillich thinks it's a discussion we need to have. We just had a half dozen downtown business leaders here the other day talking about how they feel that it is impacting their business. They feel that it's impacting their customers. They feel that it's impacting everyday citizens. So in response to that, and this has been going on for quite a while, it gets back to the homeless issue that Mayor Gillich wanted to try to address some time ago. What does society do with these issues? We are trying to work our way through them, something that's best for the entire community, but respects the rights of the panhandler and the homeless and the transients and the general public.
Do you see the potential of a no panhandling areas throughout the city?
I don't know. It's all to be determined. One area of no panhandling we know is going to be near an ATM machine for a bank. I mean, that's a safety issue. Same thing with loitering. You cannot stand outside somebody's house at night looking through their window. You know, well, I'm just out here loitering. But it's going to arm the businesses. That's probably not a good word. It's going to give the businesses a tool to deal with panhandling. They can put up a sign saying no panhandling on their private property. All right, Cecilia, I've talked about panhandling. When is that next city council meeting when they're going to schedule to vote on panhandling and loitering?
Right now it's set for Tuesday, November the 7th at 6 p.m. at Biloxi City Hall.
Okay, so it's a nighttime meeting. More people can come to it. All right, Cecilia said there were three big things on the city council agenda. She was wrong. There were actually at least four big things. The other thing on there was we awarded a contract to begin work south of the railway. South of the, everybody says, oh, no. Mayor Gillich has said over and over, when we go south of the railway, it's going to be my ball game. I'm going to be in charge of it, and we are not going to see what we've seen north of the railway. Now he's going to have that opportunity. The first part of the work is going to be the what I call the Southwest contract. What are we talking about?
On East Biloxi.
No,
West Biloxi. I meant West Biloxi.
It's going to be essentially the areas west of the downtown area, essentially from what I call the Holy Land, up by St. Peter and so forth, and it's going to come to Cuevas Street, which is going to match up with, Cuevas Street. Then the contractor, Hemp Hill Construction, which did work in North Biloxi in the early phases of this Restore Biloxi project, same contractor, $22.9 million project. It's an 800-day project. Let me repeat that, 800 days. But what's the good thing about it?
Oh, that's what I was going to say, but what's the difference? Well, with this contract, the administration has looked at and is going to divide it up into three sections. And when the contractor does work on one section, he has to have at least 75% of that work done before he can move into the next section, unlike the North contract when they just spread it out over 55 miles and they just tore up all the streets, where this is going to be centralized one section at a time.
And the very first part coming out the gate is going to be on the west side of the downtown area. They got to get all of that done. After all of that's done, that $22.9 million, and it's going to be an 800-day contract. Let's remember that, 800-day. It's a big contract. After they're done with that contract, probably before they're done, we're going to be advertising for another contract, which will be the areas on the east side of downtown, down there towards Point Cadet and so forth. People say, well, gee, didn't you already work on Point Cadet? North of the railway. Now we're south of it. But it's going to be in, I want to say, bite-sized chunks, this next part of work. And we, Cecilia and I, are hoping to beef up the communications efforts through a variety of means. We're doing that now with the North contract. Mayor Gillich says he feels that the North contract was a bad contract. It gave too much leeway to the contractor. They came in and put the water system in first. That meant they tore up every street to put in the water system. Then they came back to put in the sewer system, which is deeper than the water system, and on the other side of the street, which means that the entire street was going to... So people said, why'd you tear up my street twice? Because first they did the water, then they did the sewer. Under the new plan, you're going to have to get everything done before you move into the next phase. So it's going to cost more. It's going to cost more, but it's a thing where it is going to minimize the inconvenience. The other thing we did was the city of Biloxi has entered another lawsuit involving a waterfront property dispute. This has got to do with property that is right to the west of Oak Street on the waterfront. The Secretary of State maintains that that is state tidelands land. Our issue is that we've got property owners down there. They used to be the site of the Lady Luck Casino, and then the Aldridge family owned some property there where they had the Fisherman's Wharf restaurant. For years, they've been paying taxes on this. So Mayor Gillich feels that this is privately owned land. It should not be transferred over to Tidelands. And if it's transferred over to Tidelands, a couple of issues come up. Number one, it goes off the tax rolls. So we're going to lose the tax revenue, the property taxes off of that. The other issue that comes up is, who's going to refund the money to these jokers that have been paying property taxes all these years? Because they're not just going to walk away. They're going to say, oh, you mean we've been paying you, and come to find out we didn't own this. So this is the same kind of issue that's gone on with Margaritaville. Same kind of Tidelands dispute. The disputes were already going on, and the Margaritaville case threatens the expansion of the Margaritaville Hotel as well as the amusement park. That project has been stymied for, I'll bet, 2 years now because of these Tidelands issues. It's all a matter of control. Mayor Gillich thinks that the control of our waterfront should rest with the city of Biloxi. Now, William Sackett, speaking of the waterfront, we have a special guest with us today who is going to talk about nothing to do with Secretary of State and waterfront disputes. Or do you want to get into that, Larry Sablich?
No, thank you.
Larry Sablich is the manager of our ports and harbors divisions of the city of Biloxi. He's down there every day with his staff at Point Cadet Marina, at the Biloxi Small Craft Harbor, at the commercial docks, and at the Sherman Canaan docks back on Lee Street. But right now you got something totally new going on, or something totally in addition to your daily routine. And what is it?
We have the SKA tournament going on. Actually, it started today, fishing, which is the Southern Kingfish Association fishing tournament, which is going on at Point Cadet right now through Sunday.
So is this a thing that draws a few people from Wool Market and Gulfport and they come down and have a good time? Or just give people an idea of the scope of this thing.
It actually brings people from everywhere. The fish that are displayed during the tournament, you don't normally see. So people come from everywhere.
Now, you're talking about the visitors coming from everywhere, but give people an idea of how many boats you're going to have here. Where do some of those boats come from, and are they skiffs?
No, these aren't skiffs. These are probably $500,000 to $1 million boats, and they come from Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Florida, North Carolina, South Carolina. We've got them from everywhere. I think we've got a total. We're going to end up with 120 boats at Point Cadet Marina, and there's also another 30 at the Palace. So we're looking at about 150 boats, which comes with lots of people. You're looking at probably 6-8 people per boat. So we got a lot of good little shot in the arm for the economy this time of year.
And these boats are, I don't know how to say it, the owners of these boats, they're pretty deep-pocketed and well-heeled people.
These are guys that fish this tournament. They fish it year-round. It's all they do. And they have very deep pockets. They also have lots of sponsors that help pay their expenses during the tournament. So there's lots of sponsors involved also.
Now, you made a reference to how these are fish that you don't normally see. From what I understand, these boats go way out there.
Yes, sir. They're going not as far as Billfish Tournament, but they're going to go anywhere from 100 to 200 miles away quickly. Yeah, because all of these boats are triple and four engines on them. They get there very quick, and they come back every day. They don't go and stay.
And the other ones, they go and stay?
That's correct. Billfish will go out, and they don't come back in until they have a fish. These guys will go out and back in today, tomorrow, and Saturday.
Now, I know these people enjoy this, and it's entertainment for them, much like people say they go to the casinos for entertainment, and they read Playboy for the stories. You know, however, there is money in play here on this tournament, isn't there?
There is lots of money. I don't know exact purses, but there is lots of money involved.
Tens of thousands of dollars?
Tens of thousands, easy. Yeah, very easy.
Do you know some of the categories of some of the fish? Well, better yet, let me ask you this. What do you do with all of the people who are in our marinas that maybe already have boat slips at Point Cadet? Are they a cooperative sort?
They've been very good. They hadn't fussed too much about it this year. This one doesn't affect the harbor as bad as the Billfish Tournament because they're smaller boats. We can double them in slips. It's not near as bad. And they've been very cooperative. They have.
And the big thing is it's a balancing act, I would imagine, that you have to do with the people who are here year-round. It's much like us driving on the highway. You know, there's more traffic in the summer.
It is. We have to be careful with our permanent tenants. You know, we do everything we can to accommodate them during these tournaments, try to make it as easy for them as we can because they're very important to us. The tournaments are good, but our permanent tenants are very
–
right.
Now, okay, let's shift gears for a minute. And you can find out all the information about the SKA tournament on our city website. We had that hurricane, man. What are you with the small craft harbor, Point Cadet, the commercial harbor, and the Sherman Canaan? What's the status today of everything?
Actually, we came through this storm pretty good. Point Cadet Marina, we've got a little bit of work left to do down there. It's been very challenging hosting the tournament 2.5 weeks after we had a storm come through. But we've put it together, and it's worked out good. One major pier damaged, Lighthouse Pier, which gets used a whole lot. The rest of it is minor.
Coliseum Pier is okay. It's open and so forth.
We've got a few issues down there, but I think we've got it open. We had to replace a few decking boards and handrail, but I think we've got that one back open.
Okay, big question. Why do we keep rebuilding that Lighthouse Pier in the same fashion?
Very good question. We had to rebuild it like that after Katrina because it was as it was before, you know, to rebuild. That's a good question. Not real sure why.
My understanding is we did ask for some what is known as hazard mitigation money. Hazard mitigation money will help you build it to where it will be more resilient. A good example of that is the pier that is under the loop. Even though it was closed after Katrina, it does pretty good in storms, doesn't it?
It does, and it's the concrete piles. Makes a big difference than the wood piles. They're going to stay in the ground a lot better, and unfortunately, Lighthouse Pier is all wood. Even concrete panels, walkways are better because they don't float away, they don't break away like the wood does. Big difference between a wood and concrete pier.
Mm-hmm. You got to be real proud of your staff on weekends like this whenever you've got all this stuff going on.
I'm very proud of our staff, and we've been juggling all three, regular job, storm, and tournament all in the last week. So it's been very challenging, but fun. We enjoy it.
So you've got a lot of boats that are in, and the slips are filled, right?
That's right. Point Cadet Marina right now. Well, we've got three-quarters of the harbor filled. We actually have a dredging project going on down there right now, so the west side of the harbor we've got shut down, but it worked out good for the boats.
Any steamers?
No steamers.
Just on that steam thing, I'm telling you. What's the best time, like on this weekend, when you see people coming out there to see the fish?
Actually, the scales open tonight, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday, from 3 o'clock in the afternoon till 7 o'clock at night. So y'all come on down and enjoy everything you see.
And if you see a crazy man running around, that would be Larry Savage. Yeah.
That would probably be Larry. Not after 5.
If you have any questions for Larry Savage about any of our waterfront amenities, first off, you can find a lot of information that Cecilia Dobbs-Walton has put on the city website, Piers, Harbors, and Marinas. Look on the right side over there. It tells you about our facilities and what the amenities are. But if you've looked at that and you still have questions, you can email Larry at lsablich, Larry Savage, lsablich@biloxi.ms.us. And thank you, my friend. How long have you been down there now?
You're welcome. 20 years.
Oh, man.
My fifth year as manager, and it's been very exciting.
Yeah, I saw that smile. So, thank you again, Larry. You do a great job down there.
Thanks for having me.
And a lot of people don't realize, what is it that you operate down there? It's a floating
apartment, man.
Oh, floating apartment. That's right.
Yeah, so he's got all the issues and water. Cecilia, talk about the weekend or whatever else you want to talk about.
Yeah, well, Friday, the Parks and Recreation Department is going to have their annual Special Needs Halloween Costume Ball. Again, this is Friday, October the 27th at 6 to 9 p.m. at the Donald M. Snyder Senior Community Center on Pass Road. It's free. It's open to all children and adults with physical and mental disabilities. There will be a costume contest, so make sure you dress in Halloween garb. Also, just a reminder, the 11th annual Mississippi Gulf Coast Senior Prom will be on Thursday, November the 9th from 6 to 10 at the IP Casino, open to ages 50 and older. But the reason I'm telling you now is because the tickets are on sale at the Park and Recreation Office on Hiller Drive, the Donald M. Snyder Community Center on Pass Road. Tickets are $15 per person. They're available at those two locations and a couple other locations along the coast. But as always, all that information is on our website at biloxi.ms.us.
You've been listening to City Desk, news and views from City Hall, Biloxi. Our host, Public Affairs Manager for the City of Biloxi, Mr. Vincent Creel. This is William Sackett speaking.